This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, on this fine afternoon, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. But I'm going to get a little help. I can't just manage your life by myself. I need someone else. And I need some guests to also chip in. And today we have Kerry Kasem, my co-host, live in Washington, D.C. Is that right, Kerry?
Yes, I'm all the way out here in Washington, D.C. for human rights and my bill. Very excited.
So how are things going there in Washington?
They're excellent, meeting with a lot of members of Congress, and including the one that you're going to introduce.
I am, yes. We are having on our show a congressman. We're having Brad Sherman. Before we get to Brad, I just want to say later on in the show, we have Areva Martin coming on the show, and she's going to talk about her new book, Make It Rain, How to Use Media to Revolutionize Your Business and Your Brand. She's a civil rights lawyer, a children and women's rights advocate, and an autism spokesperson. She's often on CNN and everywhere else. Dr. Phil, in fact, he wrote the foreword in her book, Make It Rain. So we'll have Areva coming on after Brad, but I want to introduce now Congressman Brad Sherman, who represents California's San Fernando Valley. He's been in the House of Representatives since 1997, so it's his 11th term in Congress. He's a senior member of House Foreign Affairs Committee, which is an important committee to be on these days. He's ranking Democrat on the Subcommittee on Asia, Chairman Emeritus of the Subcommittee on Terrorism, Nonproliferation, and Trade, and a senior member of the Financial Services Committee, and we can talk a little bit about the taxes, since he is a tax expert, an attorney who understands taxes, and everyone has to file their taxes by Tuesday. So we can talk to Brad about that. Brad, welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Good to be with you again, Alan, and good to be with Kerry as well.
Yeah, you're closer to Kerry today than you are to me. Usually you're in Sherman Oaks, and that's pretty close. That's where your district is, but you're in Washington with Kerry. And you've been a busy guy, Brad. There's just so much going on. Pretty exciting time, I guess. I don't know if it's the most beneficial time, but it's certainly exciting to be a congressman. You've been all over the media. Trade has been in the news, obviously, with China and Korea. And now this week, Trump talked about rejoining the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and you had some comments about that. I know you tweeted on that.
Mm-hmm. It's really a betrayal of what he ran on. He ran against the trade deficits, and I think it makes a lot of sense to focus on that. And now he's kind of conceding to Wall Street that he's didn't really mean it.
But isn't he contradicting his and betraying American workers when he said, make America great again and get everyone working? And now, isn't this a step in the wrong direction?
Well, it's hard to know how, under what circumstances he'd rejoin the TPP. And so it's hard to know what he has in mind. And he tweets this or that and doesn't mean it, or at least doesn't mean it the next day. So it's hard to be overly sure of what he has in mind.
Yeah, there certainly may be some limitations on any rejoining, if that's the case. But you don't see it as any type of media effort against the potential trade disputes with China?
It certainly doesn't help us regarding China, because TPP's perhaps worst provision are the, quote, origin provisions, which would allow an automobile, say, that was 50-60% made in China and then finished in Japan or finished in South Korea, to come to the United States when we would get no access at all to the Chinese market. So these rules of origin provisions are tailor-made to expand our trade deficit with China.
And how do you see this China issue playing out? You know, we're seeing every day there's pressure. We're hearing from China some of the repercussions of what our administration might talk about. How is this going to play out?
It's hard to know because on the one hand, we can't ignore the trade deficit with China. On the other hand, if you're going to go eyeball to eyeball with President Xi, it's good to do so in a well thought out manner, with stable leadership. I think taking on our allies with regard to aluminum and steel right before you then go eyeball to eyeball with China is a mistake. You want the rest of the world with you, and the biggest trade deficit by far is with China.
And how is the rest of the world going to react? You know, you talk about, you know, Canada and some of our allies, you know, he getting tough with them, but he may need some friends if this all plays out the way you're talking about.
Well, if he's serious about focusing on the China trade deficit, that's what he should have done first. He antagonized Europe, Canada, Japan, and then granted them all waivers. So accomplished nothing, and it was a bad mismove before this effort to focus on China. But China cheats in a lot of ways. For example, co-production agreements. If China wants to sell something here, they're free to sell it. If we want to sell planes there, they say, no, you can't until you move your factory here, or a big part of the factory, the fuselages in this case. And so even when they are buying an American product, they're doing so after stealing a chunk of the American jobs. And they don't just demand that the fuselages for the planes they're buying be made in China. They want the worldwide fuselage production to be in China. So that's something that would never have happened. It's not like if you are selling planes to a Spanish airline that you have to move your factory to Spain. The Spanish airline isn't in the airplane production business, doesn't care that much where your factory is located, whereas the Chinese airlines are working hand-in-hand with their government not to buy the best planes, but to get the jobs.
You know, it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago on this show, we had Dan David, who is the protagonist in a film called The China Hustle. And I might have mentioned that to you, The China Hustle. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it talked about some of the investors in this country using sham Chinese companies as part of pension plans and other American investments and getting away with it because there was no regulation for these Chinese companies.
I'm not familiar with that scam, but investors need to beware.
Yeah, and that's true. And when you say a scam, there are a lot of them that we have to look out for. Now, is this a scam when Trump starts talking about dealing with North Korea and maybe having a summit and bringing South Korea into it?
Well, it does make sense to talk to the North Koreans, but we're making some major concessions right up front. First, they get to be treated as an equal by the President of the United States. That's an objective that leadership has had, the Kim Il-sung and his father and grandfather have had for generations.
Right.
And then second, because talks are pending, we're not ratcheting up sanctions. We were ratcheting them up. We've stopped ratcheting. The only concession they've made is they say they'll talk about denuclearization of the peninsula, but what they probably mean is, yes, after they conquer South Korea, so which means never. So I'm not sure that we haven't lost a little bit in just the structuring of the summit. That being said, it'll be interesting to see what we can accomplish. And we have to be willing to sanction Chinese banks that do business with North Korea. If we don't do that, we won't have the leverage to achieve anything in these talks.
Now, you've said that you don't agree with a whole lot that President Trump has done or his initiatives, but it sounds like some of the diplomacy, and I don't know if I can use that word or not, is something that you wouldn't disagree with.
Well, what he's doing on Korea is a continuation of Obama's policies, but louder. And it'll be interesting to see what we can achieve. The UN sanctions that we got most recently build on other UN sanctions, but we we've made progress, and we have better sanctions on North Korea now than we did a couple of years ago. But it's tough because even when he is focusing on a problem that I think needs to be focused on, I'm not sure that he brings the kind of care and planning that's necessary to dealing with it. It's a tough choice. Do you ignore a big problem, or do you try to tackle it, knowing that you have somebody in the White House who tweets more often than he plans?
Right, and of course, this week we saw a lot of attention put on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. So it's not clear that all the priorities are in the right place for the congresspeople and the administration. Kerry, you are also lobbying there. Have you had a chance to speak to Congressman Sherman?
You know, I spoke to Lauren Woolman, his deputy chief of staff, who was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And I got a little red comb that says Congressman Brad Sherman and his phone number.
So Alan, if people know what my hairline is, they'll get a joke of handing out the comb.
I wanted to meet
with Kerry, and I had some child care responsibilities. My children are younger than you would think if you looked at my hairline.
I saw a picture of your beautiful kids and your wife. So, she explained what happened. No problem. But I'm here tomorrow, so maybe if I stop by and you're there, I'll come say hi and meet with you for 5 minutes. That would be wonderful.
That would be great.
If you have the time.
That would be good.
Okay.
Are you going to promise to use the comb if you stop by, Kerry?
I'll use the comb. I'll grab you a comb, too, if I go by tomorrow.
I assure you that Kerry has more use for it than I do.
Well, we know that. I want to talk a little bit about what Kerry's doing. Also, I want to talk about the census tax and maybe a couple of other issues that we haven't gotten to yet. Syria, we have to take a break. We're talking to Congressman Brad Sherman, representing California's San Fernando Valley. That's where Kerry and I live, so he's our congressperson. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Graduation season is around the corner. Let Job Genius power your job search. Job Genius offers free advice on job searching, resume writing, and interviewing. Visit expresspros.com/jobgenius today or search Job Genius on YouTube. Job Genius is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. Whether you're a graduate or just looking for a new job, turn to Express for administrative jobs like customer service, sales, and accounting positions. Express takes pride in connecting the right people with the right company. Go to expresspros.com.
The 4 for $4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for $4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm junior bacon cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for $4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, we're back. We're talking to Congressman Brad Sherman. Reva Martin will be on the show a little bit later. She's a civil rights lawyer and children and women's rights advocate. And Kerry Kasem is in Washington. Kerry, what's it like lobbying in Washington for your bill?
it's been wonderful. People have been, very receptive, and I'm just hoping to find a sponsor. In fact, Lauren Woolman, the Congressman's Deputy Chief of Staff, Legislative Director, said that, you'd pick this up and sponsor it. So I just thought I'd throw that out. Totally.
You really want somebody on the Judiciary Committee. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to
Bob. I do, because it's going to go through Judish for sure. And it does, the bill state to state does that. So I figured, in Congress it would do the same thing. But I definitely would love co-sponsors and to get a big group around this. And I'll talk to you about that later. But it's been really great. It really curbs elder abuse in the form of isolation. And people are receptive to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great, Alan. Thank you for asking.
You're talking about the judiciary, but you've been outspoken, Brad, about the census, the 2020 mm-hmm. census, questioning whether the question of U.S. citizenship is unconstitutional. You had a little run-in with Chris Wallace of Fox News. What was that all about?
I was on Fox News Sunday to talk about it, and at first blush you figure, well, why not ask a question about immigration or citizenship? And it's really two issues here. The first is, when we allocate congressional seats, when we allocate electoral college seats, should we count all persons? Or should we say immigrants don't count and others who can't vote shouldn't count? And this was reviewed by Congress in 1866 in light of the Civil War. And a determination was made that you count all persons. And they explicitly wondered, should we count immigrants? They can't vote. They said yes. And they said, should we include women? They can't vote. This was 1866. And I said, of course, yes. And so the first question is, should the census count everyone and allocate seats based on that count? And that was decided in 1866.
And federal funding as well, not just seats.
And funding is on, each bill decides on what basis you provide funding. But traditionally, we do it on the basis of the census for an awful lot of purposes. And so it's important to California that we get properly counted.
So why is it unconstitutional?
Well, the purpose of asking this question is to scare people into not answering.
So there's the crux of the matter.
And so the purpose of the question isn't to get accurate information, because we have pretty accurate information already. Demographers can argue it's off 2% this way, it's off 2% that way. But this question scares people so much that your answers are going to be off 10 or 20%. And what you do is you take the Constitution requires you have the most accurate possible enumeration. And if you use political polarization to pollute the census, to cause people to throw the questionnaire away, then you don't get an accurate enumeration. And that fear is out there. And to some extent, at first blush, people say, hey, the census can't be used against me. It's only for demographics. In 1940, we had a census, and we did ask people this immigration question. And the law in 1940 said that information can never be used to tell the government about an individual. And in 1942, they changed the law, and that census information became available to those who interned Japanese Americans.
So do you believe there's nefarious intention on the part of the administration?
No, but I believe the nefarious intention is not, I do not think that this census will be used to deport people. But I do think that the question is there to create the fear so that people will throw away the census. I think the plan here is not to have a census used for deportations. I think the plan here is to have a census that deliberately undercounts California.
But do you really think, I just have to ask this, do you really think that people who are non-citizens would actually fill something like that out?
I think that many will, and many will just throw the questionnaire away. A more typical circumstance is you send to the household, and there are six people living in the household, and you're supposed to list each one, and then list their immigration status. And maybe you've got some citizens and some legal immigrants in the family, but maybe grandfather is here undocumented. I think what you do if you is you throw away the questionnaire, and that and of course there's a small fine in theory for not answering the census, but no one's been fined since 1970, so I think people will say, well, do I really want to answer this? And they'll throw it away.
So as a legal issue, will Eric Holder and Democrats and others who support them be successful? Because the counterargument is the Supremacy Clause, which the federal government would be able to dictate what exactly goes into the census.
Well, the constitutional requirement is that you have the most accurate possible enumeration. And the purpose of this question is to cause the enumeration to be inaccurate. Now, California has sued the Trump administration 29 times, and we haven't lost one yet. This one, we're going to win. Now, some of those 29 we haven't won yet, either, but we have not lost one of those 29.
Yeah, we have to watch what you say. You know, people will say you're being misrepresenting,
Lost one yet.
That's a true statement.
We've won a bunch of them, and many of them are pending.
Quickly, let's talk.
But I was on Tucker. Tucker Carlson. Last night. Mm-hmm. And yep. I said, hey, you know, you think, oh, people just felt, what if liberals in 2010 had put a question on the census saying how many guns are in your house? The NRA would have told people to throw the question away, and Texas would have lost 3 congressional seats.
Well, of course, the argument is that guns isn't on the same equal to immigration or status, citizenship.
Guns is more demographically interesting because we have pretty good demographics on how many immigrants are in the country. We could be off by a couple percent one way or the other. Guns, we could be off by 200%.
Right.
Nobody knows whether there are 150 million guns in the country or 400 million guns in the country. So you can make an argument that, hey, we should ask a gun question, get this information we don't have any other way. But you wouldn't get accurate information. You'd just be using it to politically polarize the census.
The point I think you're making is that there are a lot of issues that could be on the census that aren't. And it depends on what you really attempt to get out of the census, whether you're doing a poll or you're actually, like you say, the constitutional intent.
We have hundreds of other demographic studies to answer other
information. Yes, true. I want to move on because we only have a few more minutes. I want to talk quickly about cryptocurrencies because I know that that's kind of a pet peeve of yours. You're on record as saying cryptocurrencies are a crock, and I wanted
to use a harsher word, but my staff wouldn't let me.
Well, I think it's got a nice ring to it. Cryptocurrencies are a crock. Do you expect to see more regulation, or do you? I don't know. Bitcoin took a big hit over the last month. I don't know if it was because you said the cryptocurrencies are a crock. I'm sure there was more to it, but do you expect to see regulation? Or do you expect to see?
I would hope and expect that we have investor protection. If you want to start, build a new factory and you need to raise money for that, we'd like you to raise the money to build a new factory. It's a very good thing, but we want to protect investors. Even though the money's going to be used for something very good for society, we protect investors. And so you have to go through the whole SEC registration process. If you want to do what they're calling an initial coin offering.
Right.
Which is designed to
ICO, sound. ICO, not an IPO, an ICO.
They're trying to sound like something that does go through the SEC, an initial public offering of stock from a new corporation. But the ICO goes through nothing. And you may not be using the money for anything socially useful. We do nothing to protect the investor. If you're going to say, okay, people seeking investment have to jump through hoops because they want to protect investors, the people who should jump through the most hoops are those who are doing an initial coin offering, because in most cases, that money isn't going to anything that's going to create jobs.
Well, you're equating it to investments, and I think that while it can be considered investment, certainly it isn't something that people understand and obviously are regulated like the stock market. So
it's not regulated by the stock market, but why but people are buying and selling bitcoins and other cryptocurrencies right now as an investment.
You know, I can hear the passion in your voice. I think we need to have you on another time to talk about it, because I know you know a lot about it and you do get passionate. Before we let you go, Congressman Sherman, just want to ask about the taxes, because that is your background. We had the new tax bill. We've just completed or in the midst of just a day or two away from completing tax season. What do you think? I know I've talked to a lot of people. They're not as, I don't know, frustrated by the new bill that they thought they would. They didn't have to pay a lot more money than they thought they would. What's the feeling from the expert?
Well, the return you're filling out now is the last return under Obama's tax law.
But there are still a lot of issues that are part of it this time around. The percentage.
Well, no, the new tax law that was passed by Congress last year became effective January 1 of this year. So
correct.
Your tax return is only on the law. Esther, as to the issues, look, we're increasing the deficit by really $2 trillion. If you've got a family of four, your share of that is like 26 grand. So we're increasing your debt by 26 grand. And then maybe you save $1,000 on your taxes, maybe you don't. Now, if you're in California, you probably don't.
Right.
But people are counting their savings. Oh, I got a $500 bonus. Oh, I saved $500 on my taxes. Yeah, but your family is in debt another $26,000 because we just increased the whole national debt.
Yeah, but people don't think that way. I mean, it's out there. I think that's right, but that's not the way people typically think.
That's why I'm on your show reminding people that when you increase the national debt by a couple $1 trillion,
there's an effect.
That makes us all poorer.
Yeah, it's an effect.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate Congressman Sherman. Appreciate you coming on the show, and a lot of issues. Like I said, exciting time to be in Washington. Good luck with all this. We didn't even get a chance to talk about Facebook. Maybe that's for another time.
We'll do that another time. Thanks.
All right.
Good to be with you, Alan.
Okay, take care. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye.
Carrie, you're still there?
Yes.
You know,
I'm here.
Okay. So I know that you're going to meet with Congressman Sherman, and you've got other congresspeople that you're meeting with. But our next guest, Areva Martin, I mean, this is really right up your alley. So I'm looking forward to you contributing more than I would have to contribute, because you're the expert on making it rain, not me. I'm just some talking head who goes in and argues in front of judges.
I don't know about that. But I do like Areva, absolutely. She is one incredible woman.
All right, so you're
excited to talk to her.
You're okay to stay with us for another half hour?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, great. I love to have you. We are listening to Gary's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Lawmakers from both sides of the aisle have renewed their calls for congressional approval of military force following President Trump's Friday night announcement of U.S. precision strikes against Syria. It was Trump himself who tweeted back in 2013 that a strike on Syria by President Obama would be, quote, a big mistake. Today, administration officials rallied behind the president's tweet, declaring, quote, mission accomplished. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg took home just $1 for his annual base salary last year, but the company shelled out nearly $9 million on his security and private planes. And
why do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door?
The Moody Blues are part of the 2018 class being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tonight in Cleveland. Tonight's ceremony will also welcome Bon Jovi, The Cars, Dire Straits, and jazz and blues singer Nina Simone. KABC SoCal weather, sunny this afternoon with highs from the lower to mid-70s at the beaches to the lower to mid-80s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
It's a great day at Mike Diamond Plumbing. How can I make you smile?
By getting my hot water back. My shower is spitting icicles.
I could get a smell good plumber out there
today. Awesome. How much is the house call?
Are you a residential homeowner?
Yes.
Does your hot water heater have a tank or is it tankless?
It has a tank.
Then the house call is free during normal business hours.
But this is Saturday.
Not a problem. We're open 7 days a week.
Then by all means, send a smell good plumber my way. And thank you for being a real person. I keep getting Bubba's answering machine over at Stinky's Rooter.
We're live 24 hours a day, and your Smell Good Plumber will be there shortly.
I'm Mike Diamond, and I guarantee my plumbers will show up on time and smell good.
Or your water heater house call
is free.
Have a Smell Good Plumber diagnose your hot water heater for free today. Call 1-800-446-MIKE or check out the water heaters page at MikeDiamond.com. Contractor license number 399-170.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervey's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey, and the glass is not half full. The glass is full full. When we're talking to Areva Martin, it's always full because it can't be half full. That would mean half negativity. Carrie, you still with me in Washington, D.C.?
I am here.
Now, you're going to go talk to our last guest, Congressman Brad Sherman, tomorrow, right?
Yes, yes. And that was his aide today. Going to meet with him tomorrow. Get another comb for you, Alan.
You're going to have Sunday brunch with Brad? I need a comb.
Probably not.
It looks like you're going to a barber shop getting those combs.
It's hilarious. I'm telling you. I'm going to get combs for everybody.
I just got some hand sanitizers with our firm logo on it. So I should have thought of those barbershop combs. That's really good, especially if you're going after those bald people. So, you know, I know you love what Areva Martin does. For those of you who don't know, Areva Martin's a civil rights lawyer. She's a children and women's rights advocate, autism spokesperson. She has an incredible special needs network organization that helps autism, and they've done some wonderful things. And she's come out with a new book called Make It Rain, How to Use Media to Revolutionize, that's a tough word to say, revolutionize your business and brand. Here's the rainmaker, Areva Martin. Welcome to Gervey's Law.
Hey, how are you?
I am good. And, you know, I know for those of you who don't know, Areva and I go way back because she started, did a lot of work with Dr. Phil, and one of my best friends, Candy Amelon at the time, was the producer for Dr. Phil. And since then, Areva has just shot up and she's been everywhere. It is incredible to see you on CNN, on Fox, on Dr. Phil, on The Doctors, everywhere. And now you have this book, and people don't really realize, they say, oh, well, it's Areva Martin, and how do I do that? But you started off with humble beginnings growing up in St. Louis, and it wasn't always easy for you, was it?
No, and that's what the book is about. And people always ask me, is this a book for celebrities, or do you have to know important people to be able to put these principles, you know, into action? And I say, absolutely not. And you are so right. I started out a very humble beginning. I grew up in a housing project in North St. Louis. But even beyond that, I started out as a traditional trial lawyer, trying cases in L.A. Superior Court and, you know, federal court in downtown Los Angeles. I wasn't someone who had media ties or had people in my family who worked in the entertainment business. So I want to dispel the myth that you have to have some, you know, special powers or special relationships in order to build an effective brand and to project that brand across multiple media channels. So the book is also not just about TV, although I do work in television, when I use media in the book, I'm talking about much broader channels than just television.
And when you talk about your firm, Martin & Martin, there are a lot of attorneys. Some of them do what I do, workers' comp, because I know we've run into them once or twice before through the years. So it's not simply, when you talk about growing a business, whether it's a workers' compensation law firm, whether it's a civil rights law firm, whether it's a plaintiff's, a defendant's firm, whether it's a business, there's always a need to build a brand, because if you can't build your brand, you're not going to be successful. And when I talk about Carrie Kasem, she has certainly built her brand.
Well, you're absolutely correct. Yes, you're right, Alan, and congratulations, Carrie, on all the great work you're doing. Yes, whether you're a lawyer, an accountant, a chef, you know, the local business person that's running, you know, the pizza shop on Larchmont or wherever you may live, people've got to learn out, you know, they've got to learn about you. They've got to know what you do. They've got to identify you as the person that does X or the person that does Y. And so in this era where if we touch a computer, we're pretty much a public brand. Our personal becomes public. It's so important that we learn how to, you know, define our own brand and project it in a way that's consistent with our own values and our passions, our skills and our expertise.
You know, the reviews have been incredible for Make It Rain. I'm just looking at a couple of them here. Make It Rain is a definite game changer for anyone interested in developing their brand while using the media to strengthen it. Ms. Aretha Martin, the author, ties these areas together so eloquently and causes the reader to realize their limitless potential. Another person writes, Aretha Martin did not hold back in this book. She gave it all. I've read a lot of books and took some courses on branding and getting the attention of media, but Aretha's insights is the most comprehensive yet easy to understand and implement I've seen. So when they talk about it being easy to understand and implement, what exactly were you able to do to convey that type of message and to get people to understand really the simplicity of a very complex area?
Well, one of the things I did, Alan, is this is my third book, so I should start there. And I learned along the way that when you're writing to a big audience, you know, a commercial audience, and you want to market a book to a broad demographic, you have to speak the language that people speak. And as adults, we don't have a lot of time, you know, like we did in college or law school or graduate school. So we're not going to pour over a book for hours like we would studying for an exam. And I think one of those reviews hits it on the head in terms of information has to be provided in ways that people can digest and digest quickly. Otherwise, you lose your audience. And over the, you know, last 7 to 10 years that I've been working in the media, I've learned to do that with respect to talking about complex legal matters on television, but also in my writing style. You know, I get that people are busy. I respect people's time, and I didn't want people to have to pour through pages and pages because, one, I knew they wouldn't. So I was very clear on that point that they wouldn't do that. So I just wrote it in language that if I was sitting down explaining to you, you know, what a brand is and how you build a platform, what would I say to you that wouldn't bore you to death? And that you could walk away with and say, yeah, I get that. So that's how I write. I try to write, you know, even though I'm a lawyer, and, you know, as lawyers, we're trained to, you know, think in big sentences and write using complex language. That wasn't going to get it for a book that I want, you know, wanted masses of people to read.
You know, I remember not too long ago, I called one of my junior associates into my office and I had her sit down and I said, what is your passion? Tell me about what you really love. What do you get excited about? And she said, why are you asking me that? I said, I really want to get to the bottom of how we can get you excited, what you get excited about, and how you can transfer that passion to your work. And that was one of the things about the book that I really liked, your focus on passion, amplifying your voice.
Yeah, so important, Alan, and your young associate or junior associate is not unlike the people I've met on this book tour. I've been in New York, Chicago, Boston, Dallas. I've done 2 big events in Los Angeles, and I'm headed back to New York. And I always ask that question, like, you know, are people clear, right, by show of hands, you know, who knows what their brand is, who's figured out what they're passionate about? And I can tell you, I've been in some rooms with pretty sophisticated people, and in almost all of those rooms, only about a third, or sometimes even less, of the hands go up. So it says that a lot of adults, a lot of professionals, you know, still are really unclear about what their brand is. They can tell you what their job title is. You know, they can tell you where they
right.
work. They can give you a business card.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're a little confused, some of them, when we start talking about your brand. Because your brand isn't just what you do for a living. You know, a doctor can be a part of your brand if you're a doctor, but it's not going to be, you know, what's memorable about you. It's not going to be, you know, how people, it's got to be more than that for people to really latch on to you and connect with you and identify, you know, with you. Because let's face it, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of doctors in, you know, in
right.
a given.
A lot of a lot of boring ones. We know as lawyers, there's I always say there's 90% of the lawyers I don't want to hang out with. But, you know, one of the things that Carrie really brings to the table is passion. And she can... I've never seen someone so passionate about things. Carrie, what is it? What Ariva's talking about, how do you find that passion? How are you able to translate it? Like Ariva says, it's not just saying, hi, I'm Carrie Kasem. I mean, you have something
right.
to say, and you really believe in what you have to say.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, whether it's my, you know, anti-elder abuse stance, you know, whatever I get behind, it's 100%. And that's what I go for. And I've really created, another life, a political life, something that I feel really good about. I'm changing the world, but I'm listening to you. I've read your bio, Ariva. I'm so just unbelievably impressed. Of course, I've seen you all over television. My question to you is, where did you get your drive? Did you have a role model? I know my dad was mine. My dad, like everything
yeah.
I am today, I can say because my dad taught me. Where did you get this drive?
I can say there are two women, just like your dad. I had two amazing women in my life growing up. I had lots of women. But if I had to narrow it down to those, you know, really people that drove it home for me, my grandmother and my godmother. And both of them fairly uneducated meaning, you know, formal education. They didn't have college
sure.
degrees, but they had heart. They had passion. They had a work ethic. You know, they had such strong values. And as a kid, you know, you're not looking at your grandmother or godmother thinking, gee, you're principled, or gee, you're hardworking. You know, you're not thinking that.
Right,
but
right.
what you're watching, you know, they're modeling for you. And what they model stays with you. And I watched these amazing women take very little in terms of income, resources, and just make the most of it. And never whine or complain or, you know get tired.
Yeah.
Ariva,
give up.
I bet that they never said you can't do something. Because I know for someone, you know, you went to Harvard Law School, you're very well educated, and, you know, you have this drive. Clearly, those two important women in your life never said can't or won't to you.
Absolutely. They never said that. What they said was work hard, you know, believe mm-hmm. in God, pray, respect yourself, treat others, you know, the way you want to be treated. That, you know, some of those basic golden rules that sometimes I think are lost in today's society. But they were really big on just, you know, some very basic principles. And, you know, in this very complex world that we live in, I think sometimes we overlook how some of those simple principles can serve us best.
Right.
And I just told a woman this morning, I was doing an interview, and she said, you know, how did you deal with being at the University of Chicago and Harvard? I said, well, when I arrived at college, I wasn't prepared academically, but what I discovered I had, which was, you know, a game changer for me, was a work ethic. And if I was willing to put in the hours, the 10, 12, 14 hours a day in a library, I could catch up. I could, you know, I could cover a lot of ground. I could make up a lot of ground, and I could, you know, compete with students who had graduated top of their class from, you know, really top high schools and who were third, fourth generation college graduates. So that's something that... My mantra today, you know, my mantra is you just can't outwork me. I will not be outworked. And that's just, you know, I think being a Midwesterner is just stuck with me.
Yeah, that makes sense. We had to take a quick break. We want to talk a little bit more about the book and maybe get some tips as well as talk about autism and your work with that and maybe even a new television show, Face the Truth, on CBS. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 602-331 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just won a dance-off competition that saved the world.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervey.
Yes, anything that can go wrong can be made right. That's our motto, and that's Areva's motto. We're talking to Areva Martin. The book is called Make It Rain, How to Use Media to Revolutionize Your Business and Brand. And if you check it out on Amazon, you see almost perfect, unbelievable reviews. 5 stars. Check it out on Amazon. Areva, you talk a lot about the media, and Carrie's on the line from Washington. You guys are experts in using the media to get your point across, to give yourself a voice. What about social media? What about people who may not be Carrie Kasem or Areva Martin? How do people use social media to their advantage?
Well, first of all, you've got to use social media, so let's start there.
Yeah, right.
People, yeah. You know, they hate it, and they say, oh, my God, you know, that's something for kids, or my kids do that. And there's a big fear factor sometimes when I talk to, you know, folks who are over, even I'd say some people over 35, but definitely when you start talking to people 40 and over, some folks are really intimidated by social media. But again, I was telling a friend, I was hiring an executive assistant to help me on my book tour, and it got down to a couple of candidates. One was a guy who just had not kept up in the social media world, and I ended up going with a millennial, even though I love the guy. He had great skills otherwise, but I couldn't have someone work on the team that wasn't, you know, really proficient and comfortable using social media. So first of all, I say to anyone that's not comfortable, you know, you're probably putting yourself in a position where you may lose jobs or other opportunities, because even most companies now, you know, are asking their employees to get involved in terms of, you know, using social in a way that helps promote their own company or brand. Start. I just say jump in. And if you feel uncomfortable, if you need to go to that junior college to take a course, if you need to you know, borrow that teenager in your family or that young adult that, you know, lives down the street from you that you would hire to babysit or cut your lawn, maybe you hire that person to come over and, you know, help you get your page up on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram. But you can't be in this world, it's almost impossible, I would say, without having a voice on social media, because people do two things now. They Google you and then they go to your social account. And that's, you know, how they determine if they're going to do business with you, if they're going to hire you, if they're going to frequent your restaurant, you know, if they're going to engage with you. That's just the reality.
You know, I know Carrie would agree with that. She is incredible at connecting with people. And that's something that the book talks about, being able to connect with people, especially who your brand will resonate with. Carrie?
Oh, Yeah, go. Yeah, yes. Carrie, obviously you've done that very well.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, and it's true. Using social media is so important. I was late in the game when it came to Instagram. I was there with Facebook right away. You know, I did MySpace and then just Facebook and Twitter, of course. But I was late in the game in Instagram. Shame on me, because it was such an amazing medium to connect with people, to really get, you know, the millennials out there, and connecting with the younger crowd. Because my Facebook crowd is, it seems like it's the older crowd. It's the one that listened to me on talk radio. It's the one that has been following my career, some of them for 20 years. But then if you want to really engage the younger crowd, you've got to keep up with the social media, and it's so very true if you want to stay relevant.
You know,
so that's absolutely true, and you've got to be where the people are that you're trying to connect with. So if you're trying to connect with millennials, you've got to be on Instagram. You know, if you're trying to have a conversation about politics, you've got to be on Twitter, because that's where, you know, most of the political conversations are happening, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
For the book, I got heavily involved with LinkedIn. And I had a LinkedIn account, but I wasn't engaging on it too much. And over the last 6 months, I've grown my LinkedIn followers to close to 25,000. And I populated book events just through engaging with folks on LinkedIn. And it's funny, one of my Chicago events, I said, raise your hand if you got an invitation, you know, to this event from me on LinkedIn. And there was a huge number of people that had been invited, you know, to the event through LinkedIn. I did that for my Los Angeles event. I'm doing that for New York. So, you know, because LinkedIn, if you want to connect with business people, entrepreneurs, executives, they're all on LinkedIn.
Yeah, and don't forget YouTube either, because, you know, a lot of people have not only made a lot of money, but have connected really well. We only have a couple more minutes. I want to talk about the Special Needs Network, Areva, because I know that's something near and dear to your heart. You started as a result of your son Marty and autism. Tell us how you've made that a success and touched other people's lives.
Yeah, Special Needs Network, a nonprofit in California working on behalf of families who have kids and adults who've been impacted by autism and other special needs, started really as an organization where I was going into churches, doing classes, helping parents understand their legal rights under federal and state law for certain services. And it's mushroomed into this organization now with 100 employees, 15 unique programs, including our own health clinic program that we run with St. John's Well Child, which is a L.A.-based federally qualified health center. We do in-home ABA therapies. We do in-clinic therapies. We provide training for parents. We run a free summer camp. We actually have a big autism conference in Los Angeles as a part of Autism Awareness Month. We've been heavily involved in legislation. We were one of four organizations that led the charge to have private health insurance be mandated to reimburse autism therapies. So in 2011, California passed an insurance mandate law, and Special Needs Network was at the fore of that legislative victory. A couple years later, it was expanded to Medicaid families. So now if you have a child in the state of California or an adult and they need ABA therapies or autism behavior therapies,
Areva, we are hearing your passion. That's exactly what you're talking about. This is like a trial lawyer when they've just shown the evidence of the passion for Special Needs Network. The website is snlla.org, snlla.org. And I don't even have time to talk about your new talk show that's a Face of the Truth. You're going to be a panelist. Is that right, on a new CBS show? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's going to be a panel of co-hosts. It's a show, I call it The View Meets Dr. Phil, syndicated CBS daytime talk show. They'll start airing this fall. I'm excited about that. And I'll be on tour throughout the summer with my book, hitting other cities, New York, Cleveland, St. Louis, Chicago. I'm actually even going to Maui.
Nice.
I'm excited about Make It Rain. So you guys are making it rain in your own lives and in your communities. So
I'm going to Maui for the California Applicant Attorneys Association, Areva, which I know you know about. But you have a much more exciting trip to Maui than I do. Anyway,
We'll both be working
for sure, and I hope we have some time for some enjoyment there. I want to thank you, Areva, for being on the show. It's always a pleasure, and good luck with the book Make It Rain and the show Face the Truth.
Thank thank you so much. I can get the book anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, at Areva Martin.
At Areva Martin. And that's going to do it for today. Carrie, thanks for being with us in Washington. Look forward
thank
to
you
seeing
both.
You next week. We'll see you all next week right here on Gervie's Law.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.